City of Kuna Regular City Council Meeting, Tuesday, February 18, 2014.
To the clock on the wall, it's 7 o'clock, and so we're going to call the meeting to order. And would you give a roll call, please?
Council President Cardoza.
Here.
Council Member Jones.
Here.
Council Member Boobin Vonderhaar.
Here.
Council Member Steer.
Here.
Mayor Nelson.
Here. Thank you. And well, here comes the Pastor Maxwell. We are just at the point, Pastor, where we'd like you to give the invocation, if you would.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your love and for this assembly tonight. We ask for your presence to be here, to guide our discussion and give us wisdom. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place freely and without harassment. And again, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Well, tonight, before we get the meeting started, we're very privileged to have Olivia Strickland with us. Olivia is a seventh grader who was recently crowned Miss Idaho Junior High School. And so we're very delighted, and she has a little speech that she would like to give the audience. And if you would like to add more to her background and what have you, feel free to, because I've already exhausted what I know. Anyway, if not, I think that we have, yeah, for you to come up here, Olivia, you would, and I think speak into that. Yes. Is that comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay. You may go.
Hello, Mayor Nelson, City Council members, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Olivia Strickland. I'm 12 years old, and I am currently attending Kuna Middle School. I was recently given the honor of being crowned Miss Idaho Junior High. This July, I will be traveling to Florida to compete for a scholastic-based scholarship. My platform for the year is to focus my efforts toward promoting Crown Cares. CARES stands for Creating a Respectful Environment in Schools. More specifically, I will be talking about and against bullying. I recently conducted a survey in my own school. I approached 50 peers, even our school bully, and I provided them the definition of bullying, which is using superior strength to influence or intimidate someone, often to get them to do something. I found that 46 kids felt they had been bullied more than 10 times just in middle school. I discovered that 45 of those kids didn't know how to respond to the bully in a healthy way. I have the great opportunity to speak with peers in schools throughout the year. I have put together a PowerPoint presentation where I will be discussing different kinds of bullying. For example, cyberbullying, verbal bullying, physical, sexual, and relational bullying. I will be addressing ways in which a person can stand up for themselves in a healthy manner. One example is to say to the bully, "I don't respond to people who call me names," and then direct them to walk away. In situations where bullying persists, the victim needs to speak out and approach an adult. If they cannot help, get the help they need to keep speaking out by approaching someone else, such as a school counselor, teacher, or an adult friend. I will be also addressing the bystander effect. The term bystander effect refers to the idea in which the greater numbers of people present, the less likely people are to help a person in distress. When an emergency situation occurs, observers are more likely to take action if there are few or no other witnesses. One example is a 28-year-old lady named Catherine. This happened in 1964 and was brutally hurt and stabbed to death. Over half a dozen people saw this and heard this, but no one did anything for over half an hour. While this example is extreme, the bystander effect happens in our society and schools every day. There is a need for teachers to address bullying issues and not blow it off. Students need to also be alert and have the courage to speak out. As you can tell, I'm small for my age, and I too have been bullied many times due to my size. I found that it is difficult to stand up for myself, but it is always easier if someone stands with me. Most people feel good if they are not participating in bullying, but they see. I want to speak out and teach them that remaining silent is just almost as bad as doing it. As I talk with students and teachers, I am going to present to them a 100-day challenge. I will challenge them to be more aware of bullying situations in our school. I will ask them to appropriately stand up to bullies and seek help. I ask you today to also take the 100-day challenge. I have a form that I will pass around and would ask you to sign. I will email you on day 50 and ask how you're doing. I will follow up with you again on day 100. Your email will not be shared with anyone else, and you will not receive future solicitation from me.
Okay.
So she would like for your name and your email address, and she is going to make this part of her study.
That'd be great.
She's going to present.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Questions of the audience?
How did you get so smart?
School.
That's good. That was awesome. You did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Tim has a question.
Okay.
I was going to ask, too, how you got so smart and so poised. You're really amazing with public speaking.
Thanks.
You should feel honored and encouraged. You've got quite a future ahead of you.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
We'd like to give you a remembrance for your being here. This is a city pin. I know you get so many pins and all, but find some place to put it. You did a wonderful job, and thank you very much. That topic is one that we're all interested in, Yvette.
Thank you.
Okay.
I don't have a city pin. You?
Nice.
How come she gets a pen? I don't have a pen. You got a pen?
Yes, I got a pen.
You got one? The pen. The pen.
Yes.
She had one more little thing to tell you.
Okay.
Okay. This coming May, Channel 7 News will be doing a report on my journey. And at that time, I will show you the numbers of how many people made the 100-day pledge.
Awesome.
And your names will be first on the
list.
Cool. All right.
That's awesome.
We'll make honorable mention
of that. Thank you. We're almost done.
Oh, yeah, we're just about finished here. But.
I held it up because I have a long name. So.
Okay, Joe, you.
Yeah.
Can we go ahead and do this?
Yes.
I move we amend the consent agenda to increase the accounts payable on item 1B by $50,478 $475.27 to create a new total of $254,693.28.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we amend the agenda to include bill in the amount of $50,475.27. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. All right, we'll move on then. And again, Olivia, thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
The community appreciates it too. Okay, first item of business then is the consent agenda, the amended consent agenda. Are there any additions, corrections, or questions on the consent agenda?
Mayor?
Yes.
I have one. Page 3 of 26. John, could you move over a little bit so I could see Bobby? I see Bobby turned in a lunch for $21.73. How much liquor did you consume that day?
Zero.
Where'd you go for lunch?
Yeah, that was over 2 days.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, that wasn't a
I'll buy that. I was going to say, I wanted to know where you went for lunch for $21. I couldn't pass it up, Bobby. I'm sorry.
All right. Any other questions? Or can we entertain a motion to...
If none, Mr. Mayor, I would move we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
You moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I have one question.
Okay.
It might go to Gordon. Where are we heating with propane? What shops are we heating?
Well, there is a shop or two that we heat. One of them out there at the farm, one of them in town. And then there's other things that we do with the propane, like burning weeds and so forth. So
okay.
It gets used for more things.
I'm all about efficiency, and I just wanted to make sure we were being efficient because it seemed like a lot of money the last 2 months. I mean, we're talking over $3,000 in propane.
So. I think there was a set of propane bills that came from earlier in the year that got processed later. I think that's correct, isn't it, John?
Yeah, there was one in there. A lot of that, too, like Gordon had mentioned, is there is a weed-burning mechanism for the sewer farm.
Okay.
So that oftentimes, even though it's wintertime, you get tumbleweed built up along the fence lines and they go and burn that. So. Of course, propane right now is jumped to almost $7 a gallon.
Oh, okay. It's all that. I just like efficiency. So.
Yeah. Well, another thing is the Intermountain Gas. We're used to paying about $100 or less, and it's up to way too much. Well, we do heat with that, a couple of small things, but. With the really, really cold weather, it's really zoomed. Plus, it was more than 1 month. Any other questions? Okay, we'll proceed on. The next item of business is the citizens' reports or requests. A is a fee waiver request for use of the Bernie Fisher Park July 6th through 10th for a sports camp for a youth. Ray Sparkman, Treasure Valley Southern Baptist Association.
Yes, thank you for time tonight. Let me just give you a little bit of background. I'm the former pastor of Desert Streams Fellowship here in CUNA. We've been doing these sports camps. Last summer I stepped down because I have a new role. I oversee 28 of our churches here in the Treasure Valley. But we still live in CUNA, very involved in the community. In fact, when I'm not doing that work, I drive a school bus here in CUNA for the elementary and middle school and high school students. And the sports camp has been a tremendous thing for the kids the last few years. And the team that we have comes from Oklahoma to come up and help us do that free of charge. The only thing I hold against them, they come from Norman, Oklahoma, which is where the Sooners are. And so when they come up here, I tell them they got to be on their best behavior because they're in Boise country.
Okay.
But they're already excited about coming. And I said, you know, we want to continue this sports camp. We had about 180 kids last summer in this four-day period. And it just really helps out if we can have that fee removed. In fact, the other day when I was at Reed Elementary waiting for my kids, one of the students came by and recognized me. He wasn't one of my kids on the bus, but he came up on the bus and said, are you guys doing the sports camp again? And so I talked to the folks down in Oklahoma, and they really want to come up and be a part of that. And so that's why I'm here tonight. I love these kids in CUNA, and it's just a great opportunity, especially when it's there's no fee involved on their part. We're doing this free of charge for the kids. So any questions?
Questions? Thank you very much.
You bet.
And, your request then is properly before the council.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the fee waiver request for the sports camp for July 6th and 7th.
All the way through the 10th.
6th through the 10th, I think.
Oh, 6th through the 10th.
Yeah.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We approve the fee waiver for the youth sports camp from July 6th through the 10th. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And the next request is a fee reduction request for use of Bernie Fisher Park May 10th through September 27th for the CUNA Farmers Market. Quincy Murphy is here representing the Farmers Market. And Quincy, if you'd like to address the council, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the 2014 president of the CUNA Farmers Market. And we wish to first thank you for allowing us to have the Farmers Market at the Bernie Fisher Park last year, and we ask that you would again permit us to be at the park this year. We are hoping to reserve the same location we used last year for the market, and request that the fee be reduced to the same fee we've paid the last several years, to $250 for the season. And if you have any questions, I'll
questions of Quincy?
Mr. Mayor, I just had one question. I know the other night I was at that meeting that we had here, the mayor had here.
Correct. Yes.
And I know there's a lot of good things that were talked about as far as getting more products sold by the farmers to the schools and even outside of that. But have you guys had any discussion about, because I know one of the topics that was to improve the farmers market itself.
Correct.
And I didn't know if you guys had any talks after that about how what you thought you could do to improve that, or.
Well, we haven't had any official meetings. Our official meeting will come in a couple of weeks. I have sent emails out to the members that we have, and haven't had a whole lot of feedback from them yet. We've actually, I guess I should say more. Me and Mom have discussed even the possibility of maybe expanding the market a little bit and perhaps doing a midweek market on an evening. But since I don't control the market completely, that kind of has to be a market-driven thing. We are trying to, we have one of our members that's actually already lined out one, actually we have the fees from another vendor, but he's reaching out to people who do shows, craft shows, and he actually is a ag student at one of the local colleges, and so he's searching for more vendors, and more vendors brings in more people, and it's kind of a chicken and egg kind of thing. So that's all I can tell you now till we have our next meeting. Unfortunately, some of my members are probably out there planting and doing whatever it is they do during the winter, getting ready for the market, so we don't have too many face-to-face meetings this time of year.
Yeah, I felt it was a very good meeting that night. I think you guys, I know a lot of farmers had some opportunities presented to them that they weren't sure they could get, so.
Right, yeah, and which excited us a bit, almost to the point of, wow,
yeah.
Can we handle this? So, and bless your heart, thank you so much for initiating that, because now that opens possibilities, because the market can be a difficult thing when it's small and midweek, when you have veggies. What do you do with them? So that's why we're anxiously trying to make those connections and you know, make it grow however we can and benefit, hopefully, the local businesses and the residents. So.
Thank you.
Sure.
Good.
We are finding, you know, that the restaurants I have approached, we're sending those over to you, even though yeah. I probably am misspelling your name consistently, so I'll correct that quiz.
That's okay.
But anyway, the restaurants are interested. The only thing the restaurants aren't interested in, and that is coming up and shopping. They're all busy, so they'll have to work out a deal that they somehow they order and deliver. So it really does appear as though they will be in demand, and we kind of researched it. Are they in the right spot and all of that? But no, I think they're in a position to move, and I think we should help them any way that we can, because I think as the ag center of Ada County, I would think our farmers markets should be the biggest around. So, anyway. Any other questions?
No.
Okay.
Thanks,
Quincy.
I move we approve the fee reduction request for the use of Bernie Fisher Park during the 2014 season of the CUNA Farmers Market.
Second.
And moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Okay, proceeding on. The new business, electronic presentation on results of financial operations, October 1st through January 31st. John?
All right. Good evening, Mayor and Council. In keeping with our theme here of paperless, you don't have any paper as far as this goes, so it's all going to be electronic. I know financial presentations are about as boring as they can possibly be. So I'm going to try to spruce it up a little bit. I'm going to present a video up front. Are you interested? It's about a minute long. Are you open to it?
Sure.
If not, we can move right into it. So with that, hopefully this will work. If it doesn't, we'll...
Minutes up.
We'll see if our link is broken or not. I think it's broken.
I hope our tablets work better than this.
We'll make sure yours doesn't.
Yeah, we're going to have lollipops or something, you know.
Well, anyway, it looks broken. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one. We'll not prolong it any more than we need to. Next time we'll have a video. So, you know, just don't chew your fingernails off in suspense. Oh, I'm in control. I'm in control.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Okay, hopefully you can see that okay, but I'm going to go ahead and as I normally do, I'm going to go through it at a high level. So if you want to, stop me anytime and we can go into more detail. But the first one are general fund revenues, and this is through January. So the 4 months ended in January. General fund revenues are greater than planned thus far. So what we thought, where we thought we'd be to this point, we're better by, $317,652, or 23% more than what we thought. Without one-time events, and what I mean by one-time events, we have a $114,000 donation that hit the general fund that wasn't part of operation. So we take that number out, and we're beating plan by 8% as far as revenue goes. One note, and this is worth noting, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a it's an ominous foreshadowing of anything. It's more or less informative, but building revenue is trending down from prior year by 29,400 or 33%. And the reason for that is basically we planned based upon last year's actuals and the way it trended. So this year is a different year, and trending is a little bit different. Doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with the building activity, but that is one important aspect of the general fund revenue. The next, any questions on revenue?
Do we think that's, I mean, because it's been winter and there's just not a lot of permits issued in winter, or does it still seem like year over year we're down that much?
I think honestly, and Wendy might be able to expand on that, but from what I'm seeing from a revenue standpoint, we're pacing pretty close to last year. I think more or less you've just got different scenarios. In wintertime, we had a long period of inversion. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. But as we rolled into February, we saw more activity as far as revenue goes. So I think we're right neck and neck. Again, it's just a timing thing. So I don't think it's anything to be alarmed about. It's more or less just informative that, hey, we're trending a little bit down compared to last year. But this year and last year are, from a weather standpoint, from other market forces, they're just two different animals.
John, we're up $200,000, though, in general fund revenue. What is the main cause for that?
Well, right there, we've got the one-time event, $114,000. Then the other aspect of that is timing. Property tax revenue is the other aspect that's ahead of where we thought we'd be at this point in time. Again, that's timing. So what happens is you have delinquent property taxes that may have been collected, whereas we didn't anticipate that happening at this point in time. We only planned for what we assessed during the current year. So it's all a timing thing. It's all a big mixed up bag.
But mostly awesome mayor and council.
There you go.
Make sure you put that in the paper.
Mark, you want me to write that for you?
That was a quote.
John?
Is it
our grants in there?
It'll be in a couple funds back.
Another plan.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep. Or one fund back, excuse me.
Okay.
Any questions? Any more questions on revenue? I'll move to expenditures in the general fund. Expenditures thus far less than planned by $25,700 or 2%. Again, that's just a whole slew of things, just timing-wise and things of that nature. The general fund summary, revenues, and we're not talking plan here, we're talking about actual revenue and actual expenditures. Our revenues were greater than expenditure by $609,805. So in other words, we have, without one-time events, it's $406,188. So based on planning, that's where we sat to start with, but revenues have actually come in better than expenditures, which is normal. We typically generate more of our revenue up front with property taxes, and as time goes on through the course of the year, you'll see that kind of flatten out a little bit. So, any questions so far? Okay, moving on to the grant fund. Grant fund revenues, less than planned by $121,283, and that's nothing to be alarmed about. When I'm saying plan, it's basically our systematic approach to arrive at the end of the year budget number that we created. So again, the grants, a lot of them were anticipated at the time of budgeting, and were not in fact a guarantee. So at this point in time, we're trending down. Of course, we haven't received a lot of our grants yet, so nothing to be alarmed about. And that goes to the timing. Grant fund expenditures less than planned by $120,276, so almost identical to the revenue situation. We're not spending what we don't have. And then the grant fund summary, revenues are less than expenditures by $1,007. Again, timing difference between revenue and expense recognition in the months. Any questions on grants? And if you have any questions on grants, we have our grant guru over here who could probably delve into some more detail if you'd like. Okay, no takers? All right. Next fund is the Latecomers Fund. Latecomers Fund revenues are less than planned by $61,453. Again, Latecomers is tough. It's based on building activity. It goes in pretty much in concert with building activity. The Latecomers Fund expenditures are less than planned by $100,325, so it's relative to the revenue. We don't spend what we don't have. And the Latecomers Fund summary, our revenues are greater than expenditures by $87,757. So that's what you would expect to see as we receive money in through Latecomers. It goes out and reimburses the developers at some other time down the road. So typically revenues are ahead of expenditures. Any questions? All right. I know everybody's riveted to their seat. Well Mitigation Fund. No activity in the well mitigation fund. As you recall, what you've got in the well mitigation fund is now just a pot of money, and it's there to mitigate potential well litigation in the future. The water fund revenues are less than planned by $52,200, or 10%. Again, timing, revenues are based upon water consumption and building activity. It's really tough. You can kind of try and peg the water consumption, but it's based on usage and, again, building activity as far as new activity goes, new meters and things of that nature when they come online. It's kind of tough to plan, but $52,000 is nothing to be alarmed about. Water fund expenditures are less than planned, so very similar to revenue. This time, the expenditures are much less than we had planned, and that is because most of it is the timing of capital expenditures that we planned for and budgeted, and those just have not occurred yet. And the water fund summary, revenues are greater than expenditures by $183,945. So, all in all, that's a good picture. Any questions on water? All right, sewer fund revenues. Greater than planned by $961,176, and that's a big number, almost 144% of what we planned. And without one-time events, it's $155,834 greater than planned. And what the one-time event is the net proceeds of the sale of the 107 acres, the sewer farm land, that netted the net proceeds of $805,000. So that's not an operating revenue. It's more or less just a one-time event. So if you pull that out, the real true operating side of that is better than planned by $155,834. And the expenditure side in the sewer fund, the expenditures are less than planned by $418,153, or 40% below where we thought we'd be. Again, just like water, it's timing of capital expenditures and the liquidation of budgeted LID debt. And so the capital expenditure thing is one thing. The LID debt is, we had budgeted for a $200,000 payment to begin at the beginning of the year, and on a total of $2 million over the course of the next 10 years. However, with the sale of that asset that I mentioned above, the land, the 107 acres, that debt was a part of that sales transaction, so that was relieved.
John, if I could, Mayor, on that revenues and expenditures, we haven't included in there the retirement of that note with Key Bank. How is that normally accounted for? There's another $1.6 million in that sale that went for retirement of a note.
Yeah, so basically when you go into the asset, see, this is just obviously the cash-based side of revenue expense. When you go into the asset side, you've got I can't remember what the total sales price was, but the net proceeds was $805,000 cash. Then we got debt relief in the amount of almost $800,000 or $700,000 in the form of we owe $2 million. The assigned value of that note was $1.6 million, so we got, or 1.4 or something like, I don't know all the exact figures. So we got debt relief in that regard, and then there were some other fees on top of that. So all in all, at the end of the day, the remainder of that total sales price is mixed in among all assets and liability accounts that don't come into play on the revenue expense side.
On the activity side of things.
Yeah. So, makes sense. Everybody okay on that? Basically, we're talking pretty much cash flow here. So let's see if I can get to sewer fund summary. The revenues thus far, the actual revenues are greater than the actual expenditures by $1 million, and without one-time events mentioned above the $805,000, it's greater than expenditures by $195,000. So again, doing very well. Any questions? Okay, let's go on to the irrigation fund. Revenues are greater than planned by $69,000, or 34%. Again, timing of scheduled billings from lump sum to installment basis is the reason for this. In our plan, we originally planned for the old way of billing irrigation, which is the lump sum billing up front. We've since moved, once we set the budget, we moved to an installment basis, so that revenue kind of changes variably. Irrigation fund expenditures are less than planned by $117,000, and again, just like sewer and water, it's the timing of planned capital expenditures, most of which haven't happened at this point in time. The irrigation fund summary, revenues, actual revenues are greater than actual expenditures by $189,000. So again, irrigation fund is doing good at this point. Any questions on irrigation? Next one, and this should be the last one. This is the solid waste. The solid waste revenues were greater than planned by $1,276, and expenditures were less than planned by $2,397. Solid waste fund summary, revenues were greater than expenditures by $3,885. And really all the solid waste fund is a conduit for solid waste management. Okay, citywide, how'd the whole city do? Revenues greater than planned by $1.1 million and without one-time events, greater than planned by $181,000. Citywide expenditures were less than planned by $1.1 million. Citywide summary, revenues on the actual side were greater than expenditures by $2.1 million and without one-time events, $1.2 million. So all in all, the city's doing very well so far. Any questions? All right, one last slide here, and we'll talk about cash. And citywide cash balances, the general fund as of the end of January sat at $1.8 million. The grant fund sat at $4,865. Latecomers, $179,571. Well mitigation, $250,685. Water fund, $2.5 million. Sewer fund, $3 million. Irrigation fund, $1.1 million. Solid waste, $326,300, and the grand total is $9.1 million. Any questions? Yes, sir.
The well mitigation fund, how long does that have to stay?
10 years, isn't it?
2017.
If it's not used, does it revert back to the
water fund?
Water fund, not to the general fund.
No.
Someone's going shopping.
Not to council paychecks, no.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Gordon.
All right, I'll move through that pretty quickly. Any questions at all?
All that right. Was very nice.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next time I'll have a video. So I think the mayor went to sleep on me. But all right. I think that's good. We'll leave that up there.
Thanks for doing it electronically.
You're welcome.
John?
You need to get an updated picture of the water tower.
I knew that was coming.
No, that's true. That's true. I'll have a different one next time.
For some of us that don't see so well, that green isn't.
I was going to say that too. I see pretty well, and even still, it's a little
bright. Yeah, well, I tried the
darker color, might be the
money theme.
I had to concentrate on the lower part of the leg to see that it was.
Yeah.
John?
Richard?
I did have one question on the solid waste.
Huh? Is this a joke?
That is a franchise fee. How does our expenses differ? Isn't it set just on the building each month?
The expenses, what happens is it's the way the solid waste revenue works is when we bill monthly, that goes in as a revenue and a receivable.
Okay.
When monies come in the door from payments of solid waste bills, then that posts to cash and relieves the receivable balance. And when we receive the monies in, that's when they turn around and get remitted to the franchise operator, J&M Sanitation. So they receive all those monies less than 9.88% franchise fee. So what happens is sometimes you have it's just timing between the time that this is processed or put forth for the council packets and the time that we receive cash. So it's kind of the swinging pendulum of timing for that fund. So once it comes in, so we probably are sitting on additional cash right now that's been received that hasn't been paid to J&M yet because by the end of the day on last Thursday, we had to have the council packets ready. And before that, we couldn't process it until Wednesday evening because we don't update till the following day. Are you confused yet?
Okay. Do we pay J&M based on the billing or revenues received?
Received, yes.
Okay.
Yep, received.
Thank you.
Yes, and that's a good, that's a very important point, because we do have, I think our average days to collect are just over 30 days, I think, if I'm not mistaken, like 35 to 39 days. And so you have this timing where on average you can bill, and on average the next time you bill you haven't collected the average person. So it's something that we're striving to try to put forth to council, a way to try to knock that number down to below 30 if possible. So we'll get there.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks, John. Sure.
Thank you, John.
And I would like to say that kind of quarterly update is it's pretty meaningful to all of us, so we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item of business is the resolution number R14-2014, CUNA Farmers Market Agreement. Oop, I get the wrong thing.
150th birthday.
Oh, yeah. I skipped. Yeah, one of the most important, that is Chris Engels has put together what it's going to cost us for this celebration and what have you. So she has a nice talk prepared. And Chris, sorry that I jumped ahead.
That's okay.
Right ahead and wow us with what we need.
The memo that is on all your packets kind of summarizes what we're trying to do. It's not all-inclusive, you know, there's some give and take along as we go. One thing I wanted to note was to try and, we have to have seed money in order to try and move this forward. But our intent is through participation fees and sponsorships as they come to try and offset how much of that we actually have to use. And other than that, I stand for any questions.
Yeah, there's a lot of activities that are planned for the 150th, and there's monies that will be coming in to help us on that, but in order to get started and secure the dates and the stuff needed and all, we need some seed money, and as it comes in, that'll reduce what the expenditure is.
We're going to try and work with the CUNA Days Committee to try and maybe coordinate better prices on some of the items that we may or may not need to use, and try and pull in vendors. If we were to have the September 13th event, the birthday party itself, to pull in craft vendors to, you know, make it open. I think we talked about doing a reduced fee for CUNA vendors, craft vendors, and then external ones maybe to have it a little bit more, try and offset the cost of the celebration itself. I think the focus is participation fees come to the older people, to the adult activity type thing versus the kids. Those are really meant to be kept minimal. As far as the food, we had hoped to not bring in food vendors, but to offer the opportunity to the nonprofits and the youth organizations themselves to maybe do some fundraising so we can, you know, do multi-purpose there. The Year of the Kid, it's just, there's just tremendous response to the youth and the parents, and we sat in a meeting today with the High Five grant, and they did a survey of the city, and we're just really very much on target with what our residents indicated in that survey, what they want from the city. So I was pretty proud of us and the city and staff and council and mayor that we really are on track. CUNA Days, we want to participate with CUNA Days. It's our 150th birthday. We also want to support, you know, being more active in the lifestyle and such. And so we have Richard trying to coordinate with us a 5K run walk. There's the parade float, possibly do a disc golf tournament, a sand volleyball tournament, horseshoe tournaments, other participations as they come along. So the tournaments will have user fees, sponsor fees, to try and help fund the prizes themselves. And the PA system is just really something that we need. When we host events, we have to try and find somebody that will lend us a PA system when we're outdoors. a really prime example was the Christmas tree lighting in the park. We had all these enthusiastic kids, and they, you know, they wanted to hear what was being said, but there was just so many of them that the mayor couldn't be heard, and other speakers really couldn't be heard. So it's something that probably, just in the last year alone, we've run into it probably at least a half a dozen times that we haven't been able to get one, and then another handful of times we were able to borrow one from someone. So that concludes what I have to present. Any questions?
Okay, questions of Chris? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Did we set funds aside in the general budget this year for this?
For the float.
For the float, we did.
The parade? The CUNA Days parade.
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason I thought we set $5,000 aside for...
No, it was considerably less than that. We've expanded from the parade to a birthday party on the, I think it's the 23rd of September. 13th of September. And, you know, some great things going to be done there. You kind of old-fashioned type of thing.
Yes.
And each of those comes with certain costs and certain prizes and what have you. And so as we get into that, we find we really have no fund to expend that from. And
John won't let us use any money.
Yeah, John is very stick rich.
He's sticky about that.
Because he keeps wanting to say revenues exceeded.
Martin has some extra money.
This would have to come out of the contingency account then? Is that where you're looking?
Yes, sir.
Probably the sewer fund.
We asked the sewer fund to pay for it, but he wasn't paying attention.
Has the
it's silent, coming out of the sewer fund.
It would be general fund contingency. Money.
Contingency.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Has the deputy clerk seen to see if we could get a grant of some kind?
Yes, sir. I have.
You have. Okay.
Yes, sir. The parties. It's a little bit tough to fund a party. I am finding sponsorship and funding for our youth activities. Those are separate and different, and there is some funding out there for that, and I'm pursuing those options, but it takes a little bit to get them in.
Okay. John, do you know how much money we got in the contingency account at this time? Is it approximately $200,000?
Let's see here. In contingency, you have $99.
No.
Just kidding. You have $312,000.
Rich just had a mild
$312,000. Wait, no, yeah, $312,000. Doesn't, well, is that enough?
That scares me, $99.
That scared me too.
I was about to call paramedics.
We needed to.
It's okay, John was going to give me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Now, we just had to call paramedics the other day for a lady, and they were here that quick, so we'll call some.
I see nothing wrong with it, Mayor. It's all going to a worthy cause, given the 150-year celebration. I think it's a one-time expense that is well-deserved, given the year of the celebration.
I would would the PA system be available for other community events? Like, I'm thinking, to the extent we've been able to do like parade announcing by the grandstand, like to like tell people this is the float that's coming and this is who floated. Is I think that kind of stuff is really well received. So, I especially would love it if the PA system could be used for other communities. I mean, the Christmas tree lighting, but maybe the parade that precedes it and stuff like that too.
Yeah, and I think that. You know, and those are other fine examples of when one would have been really beneficial. And I think the city in general tries to share and partner with other organizations the best that we can. So.
And we expect it to be modern, so that it's compact and that it can be easily used without taking a jillion pieces and, you know, like
and,
the older ones in town.
Needing to buy a U-Haul truck to haul it.
The one that we're looking at has an iPod. Capability dock, so music can be played as well off of it, and as long as having a portable mic, it won't be wired in. So,
Yeah, I'm excited about this. You guys have already put in quite a bit of work on this, and I applaud you for that. This is...
Poor Bobby. He just doesn't even make eye contact with me when he comes in anymore.
All right, then. Are any other questions? And I guess we have that request properly before the council.
I move we approve the request for up to $5,000 as needed for use in the CUNA's 150th birthday celebration and Year of the Kid events to come from the contingency fund.
Second.
Been moved and second. We approve the 150th birthday celebration request for $5,000, up to $5,000. It'll come from the contingency fund. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried.
Thank you,
Chris.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. Now we'll go to resolution number R14-2014, Kim Farmers Market Agreement. Richard?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Before you is an agreement for the 2014 season for the Farmers Market. It mirrors, other than the date, last year's agreement, and the $250 as earlier approved, so I would stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions of Richard?
Have we ever used the housekeeping provision? Has it ever come into play or needed to come into play?
I don't think it's ever come into play.
Bobby could probably tell us more than anybody.
Okay. No, it's probably clean after
the
event.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve resolution number R14-2014.
Second.
Been moved and second, we approve resolution number R14-2014, the CUNA Farmers Market Agreement. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried.
Sir, I had something I probably should have said ahead of time. Are these the correct signatories for the farmers market?
Yes.
Okay.
That was an issue that came up a couple of years ago because I checked online and got the ones that we needed to get. And so we insisted on those being the ones that signed for that. So it was binding.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, we now consider resolution number R15-2014, release of ordinance establishing latecomers fees. Richard Roach.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Before you is the resolution R15-2014. Back in 2006, the city recorded this ordinance against Sutter's Mill No. 5 subdivision in regards to some water and pressurized irrigation improvements that were done. It was initially to be spread over, I believe, a 10-year period for the latecomer reimbursement to the city. That was paid off early. Sutter Mills number 5 is now under contract. The title report showed that this had not been released at the time it was paid. I believe it was 2008 or 9 in that time frame. So this is just a housekeeping matter to release that so it's got clear title.
Any questions?
I've got a correction on page 1 of 2 where it says CUNA City Ordinance number 2006-24 as the same has been fully reimbursed instead of has been fully reimbursed.
Okay, thank you.
I do have one question. Why on the ordinance on the second page does it in bold letters say the undersigned does hereby acknowledge that the LID lien has been fully satisfied, released, and discharged? Why is that in there, Richard? Is there a specific reason?
Where are you at? Oh.
On page 2 of 2 for value consideration down
I'm
in
sure
bold
that,
letters?
That should just say lien. The LID language should not be in there, so I'll make that correction.
So it's not the LID lien.
Yeah, that's correct.
The LID lien as we know it anyway.
But why is it in there if this is just a release of latecomer fees?
Why is lien in there, the release of the lien? LID should not be there.
Okay.
Yeah, that the lien is what's being released.
Okay. That's all I had, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are further questions? And I think the motion to approve this should include the two corrections.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move we approve resolution number R15-2014 with the correction on page 1 of 2. The sentence should read, as the same has been fully. And on page 2 of 2, where it says the undersigned does hereby acknowledge that said lien, and remove the LID.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and second that we approve R15-2014 as altered. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Motion carried. Okay. I think that concludes the agenda. I think we have an executive session, don't we?
Yes, pretty quick, but yes, we do.
Okay.
I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 67-2345F for the purpose of discussing pending litigation regarding sewer connection fees.
Second.
We move and seconded. Can you poll the council, please?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member Steer?
Yes.
All right, the executive session is approved. We'll be moving into it very shortly. We thank you all for coming. The executive session is a closed session, so.
Does everybody know about the?
Come out of the executive session?
I move that we come out of executive session.
Is there a second?
Second.
Move to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're out of the executive session and we don't have any further business, so I entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Move to second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.
Aye.